episode number 144. Camaro's still on track.
Coming to you almost live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in. It's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
That's right. We're back at you for another episode of the Camaro Z28.com podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Jason.
And I'm ecstatic.
And we're going to find out why in a little bit. Let me do the usual or semi-usual rundown of what we got going on, because we got, once again, another packed episode. Well, we're going to talk about why you're ecstatic.
Yeah.
Some of our more astute members will already figure that out. We're going to talk about how, despite recent events and conditions, the Camaro is indeed safe. In fact, it's they have plans to keep it safe. We're going to cover some of our contest information. I think that people need to be educated about that. Three emails.
Right.
And some mishmash of other stuff that we usually wrap things up with. So, to get started, Chris, you predicted something back in, April?
April 16th, to be exact.
Oh, my God, no way.
In podcast number 136.
And what was that
prediction? I predicted the Detroit Red Wings would win the Stanley Cup.
And they did.
And this week they're sipping from Lord Stanley's cup.
The Detroit Red Wings, for the fourth time in 11 years, are the Stanley Cup champions. One last marvelous
ride. Wow.
Awesome, awesome, awesome series.
And as far as the Penguins fans, well.
Oh, bitch, you got jacked, bitch.
Okay, enough of that. Yeah, it was a great series, great games, all you hockey fans.
If anybody knows me, I am a diehard Red Wings fan, and I live and die by them every playoff season, and this was just spectacular. I'm loving every bit of it.
Didn't go to the parade, though, did you?
Ugh, I wanted to so bad. I was at the last two parades, and this time I just had some stuff I had to do at work that just wouldn't allow me to go downtown.
I could have, actually. I was in the area, but yeah, I didn't want to be out there. Not in that weather. No way.
The 1.4 million people that did show up was minus me.
And dude, it would have been so different if you were there.
I know.
Yeah, 95 degrees out, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty damn hot.
Summer kind of attacked us.
Yeah, it went from, oh God, it's so cold, to, oh my God, it's freaking hot out.
My nuts are hanging out of my knees. But let's get onto the goods here. Camaro being safe. A lot of things are happening right now. First is plant closings.
Unfortunately, GM has to close a bunch of plants due to the fact that nobody's buying trucks anymore.
Who didn't see that coming a long
time
ago?
When you're paying over $4 a gallon, it's not making sense.
Yep.
So, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. And apparently one of the truck plants that they're going to close is in Oshawa.
Correct.
Truck plant.
Correct. Not the Camaro plant.
Right.
And I would even think that, everything comes under scrutiny when the economy is in the direction that's heading. But I think that I'm guessing, I don't know for sure, somebody may be able to call in and clarify this. When General Motors has this much invested, just to turn it off would, they got to recover their investment first before they can turn it off.
Of course.
That's another one thing. And including, the rising fuel concerns, the Camaro is on track. I don't know how true this is, Chris. I don't know what your opinion is on it either.
Okay.
But they're considering, it's reported that they're considering that Chevrolet is looking at a four-cylinder version of the Camaro.
Really?
Four-cylinder
version?
Maybe like a four-cylinder turbo. Mm. Yeah.
I think it would have to be. Ooh.
Yeah.
Four-cylinder Camaro, I don't know. They just don't go together.
Well, we talked a few podcasts ago about the Cobalt. Having that turbo four with 260 horsepower.
Right. But that's a Cobalt.
Yeah, it is a Cobalt. It doesn't fit the Camaro image. But you know what? If it'll help sales and keep the cars with the V8s being built.
Right.
One has to support the other when it comes right down to it.
Of course.
Yeah, they're
going
to make money off of V8s. Interestingly enough, if I remember right, on the fourth generation, Chevrolet lost money on V6 F-bodies, Chevrolet and Pontiac.
Okay.
But because they made up the volume, they could keep the production numbers going.
Oh, okay.
So the V8 cars were the breadwinners, and they actually, the loss, the financial loss of the V6 cars helped keep the financial winners, the V8's going.
Hmm.
Because they needed those numbers, those production numbers.
Interesting.
They mentioned that, you know, the Camaro is safe. 30% of the business is expecting to be the V8. And here's the thing is, Mark Leneve said that everyone thinks we'll be positioning the Camaro as a burn-ass hot rod, but that's only 30% of the business. The other two-thirds will come from 27-mile-per-gallon V6 sales with a significant female share. Hold on.
Okay.
What the hell is a burn-ass hot rod? I mean,
a burn-ass hot rod?
B-U-R-N-A-S-S. Burn-ass.
I don't know.
That's what happens when you back into the stove a little too close.
You get a burn-ass?
You get a burn-ass. You burn your ass. What is a burn-ass?
I don't know.
Somebody call in and tell us what the hell a burn-ass is. So here we have it. The tables are turned. Now the sales are going to come from the 27-mile-per-gallon V6 sales, which...
Yeah.
We've said before, we've got tons of great things to say about the V6. It's okay, man. It's okay, man. Everything's okay. And then, in fact, to solidify this, the Camaro has been confirmed for Europe, but it may not be branded as Chevrolet.
Interesting.
Maybe Vauxhall, Holden, who knows? Vauxhall, I can see that happening.
Yeah.
Vauxhall, Vauxhall.
I don't know.
Somebody call in and tell us. Because we haven't had many calls.
No.
You know, we've got some voicemails.
Yeah.
I'm on dope. Emails. But we'd like to hear from you. Comment on what we've talked about or what we're going to talk about. And here's how.
To stay informed and in touch with the Camaro Z28.com crew, go to the message boards at CamaroZ28.com. If you have a question for the podcast, call the Camaro Z28.com voicemail hotline. The number is 586-486-3182. That's 586-486-3182.
I forgot to mention that the last two out of the three interesting tidbits about Camaro were provided by our friend, the Newsbot.
Newsbot for the win.
Newsbot for the win. That's finally coming in handy. People criticize the Newsbot, but now guess what? It's bringing the news straight to you. We got some emails, but you know what? Before we do it, let's talk about the contest.
Yeah. The wiki contest still going on at CamaroWiki.com.
Still going on. Still kind of sputtering along.
I do notice that there was a couple updates since last week.
Good.
Unfortunately, some of them were spammers.
Well, maybe they just want to win, too. I
mean, yeah.
The wiki contest is kind of a neat concept, and I just don't think people get it. It's pretty easy and it's pretty simple. I made a video. We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
We just want people to get in on that soon because we only have 3 weeks left.
Yeah. We got all these prizes we just want to give away.
Yeah, Nitto tires and a whole bunch of other stuff. Man, lots of prizes. So we mentioned that, you know, if we didn't get enough participants that we maybe
extend it again?
Maybe extend again.
Or just cancel it altogether.
We're not gonna cancel it. You know what? The people that contributed, hey, they contributed, and that's the deal. So if we only get a few winners if we give away all the prizes to just a few winners because they actually participated, hey, lucky you.
Yeah.
But if you're out there and you haven't contributed to the Camaro Wiki and entered in the contest, get in on it, man, because you're going to let, like, five people win a shitload of prizes.
No kidding.
Now, we got more than that. We got plenty, but not enough. So head over to CamaroWiki.com. The instructions are right there. You can't miss them.
Yeah, and if you don't know how... to post on a wiki, go to videos.camaroz28.com. Do a search for Jason's video on how to create a wiki entry.
It's very easy. You don't got to be an expert. Just share a little bit of knowledge and you can win some big prizes.
Well, that leads us into some of these emails we got this week. And one of them touches on the wiki a bit.
Okay, cool. We'll pull that one up.
This one comes from our good buddy, BearZ28.
He has no life.
Hey, guys, it's me, BearZ28. I didn't feel like calling in all this time. I'm not speaking for all, but I'm guessing that this may be the concern for the lack of wiki activity. As far as the Camaro Wiki goes, it may not be that I or we don't know how to edit or post. Personally, it's just that I or we do not want to post erroneous information. I like to think I know a lot about the LS1 cars, but I'm just timid to post this information because it's mostly engine specifications. Like I said, there are a lot of us who know a lot about these cars, but we may not be confident enough to post it on the site that can be used for research or information gathering to buy. I've added a little bit, but there seems to be a lot of updates on the 4th gen section. Anyway, I hope you know what I'm saying. Have a good one and keep up the good work. Bear Z28 in Alamogordo, New Mexico.
Bear Z28. He hits a good point.
Yeah, it's true. Some people do feel intimidated to sharing their information. I don't know if it's they're afraid they're going to get called out on something.
Well, that's could be, but that's the beauty of the wiki, is because if there's something that's wrong, and not, you know, we can't expect everybody to be right 100% of the time.
Oh, of course not.
You know, just like anywhere else on the internet. But if they know something to be wrong, they can correct it.
Yeah,
you
or someone else
can
correct it.
You
can
be corrected. It's that's what it's about. It's an enhancement, overall continual improvement on information and continual addition.
And it's not like someone can respond to the wiki post and say, "Hey, a-hole, this is wrong." They can just go in and edit it themselves.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
If you see something that needs to be added, add it. If you see something that needs to be corrected, correct it. And if you're wrong, somebody else will correct you.
Yep.
It's meant to be
incredibly simple.
A collaboration of all the minds.
Yep.
Good email. Good point made, too.
Yeah.
I got one here.
Okay.
This comes from Z28, a.k.a. Glenn T. He says, "Hey, guys, on the June 2nd podcast, you mentioned the bowtie high beam indicator on your dad's Chevy from the 60s. Not that this is all that relevant." Well, yeah, it is. And we talked about it, so yeah, cool. We appreciate the email. I also recall that my dad's 1966 Pontiac Parisienne.
Yeah.
The Canadian version of the U.S. Pontiac Grand Prix, I believe, had a tiny red Indian head indicator for the high beams. Remember Pontiac's Indian head logo with the feather headdress? When did it all go away? Could it be that GM cars at the time each had their own division-specific high beam indicators? GM engineering at its zenith. Another even more interesting fact about the car was that it had a Chevy 327. Back in the day, the concept of corporate power plants didn't exist, at least not at GM. Pontiacs had Pontiac-only engines, Chevys had Chevys, etc. I remember gas station attendees asking my dad all the time why his Pontiac had a Chevy engine. By the way, for the younger whippersnappers in your audience, gas stations, once upon a time, had attendees who filled your tank, checked your oil and tires, cleaned your windows, and gave you a free kitchen knives and other blue chip stamps or S&H green stamps with every fill-up. All this, literally, 20 cents per gallon of ethyl. I was maybe 6 to 7 years old at the time, just old enough to remember. My questions, do engines in Chevys today have any Chevy labeling? Will the 5G Camaro have Chevy-specific engines?"
Well, that was a good email.
I remember back when the LT1 Camaros and Firebirds came out, people stood by their Pontiacs because it had a Pontiac LT1 in it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think there's any truth to that.
I don't think so either.
But if there is, somebody throw that in the wiki. Ah, there's an entry. No, I don't. I think they just have just GM power plants. No,
yeah.
Because they're shared across all of them. But I do remember seeing what you're talking about, the gas station attendants. You know, watch Back to the Future. There's a great example of that.
Yeah, I can remember back when I first drove, there were still some gas stations that were full serve,
mm-hmm.
and someone will come out and pump the gas for you.
Yep.
I do remember them selling regular leaded gasoline at the gas station.
I remember my mom saying, "Fill it up with no lead."
Yeah. So it was usually no lead or lead. That was it.
Yeah. There's no need for premium. And I remember getting like glasses, you know, get a free collectible glasses with every fill up.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
at the marathon station.
Yep.
Yeah.
Somebody mentioned on the radio station when I was on my travels for work, on one of the morning stations, they were talking about that. Are they going to bring that back as an incentive for people to come and get gas there instead of other places? You know, they got to do something to make sure that they're getting their market share.
Yeah.
Good email, Glenn.
Yeah.
Appreciate that a lot. I always love stepping back in time, sand. Chris, you got one more?
One more here. This comes from our good friend Tim Damiano. "Hey, guys. I totally agree with you about the guy that took the pictures. He deserves to have gotten fired. You're just not supposed to talk about the things that haven't been made public knowledge. That is usually one of the first conditions when you take on a job that is given access to privileged info. I feel no pity for the guy, none at all. Anyways, I forgot to mention this in my last email, but you guys had asked about fuel economy of motorcycles. My brother just recently sold his R1, and it usually got him between 40 to 45 miles per gallon, not being exactly nice to the throttle. And now he has a V-Star 1300 that gets him about 45 to 50. Again, not nice to the throttle. I also know that Yamaha advertises some pretty good mile per gallons for their scooters, with some getting up to 130 miles per gallon. Sure, make me think about getting one, considering I just filled up the tank on my 91 RS for 421 a gallon. Anyways, keep up the good work, Tim."
Good email.
Almost kind of makes you want to get one, huh? To get that mile per gallon.
Put a little helmet on, ride your scooter around.
Yeah. Hey, I'm waiting for the Volt. I am waiting for the Volt.
I think they're ramping up. I bet you they're ramping the crap
out
of
that. Did you see that this week they officially announced production of the Volt.
I did indeed.
Bob himself.
I thought I saw you post it, if I'm not mistaken, in the automotive and future vehicles discussion forum.
Yeah, apparently a couple weeks ago, they're testing a production system Volt in a Malibu at the Milford Proving Ground.
Hmm.
Maximum Bob signed the hood of the car saying they're going to make history with this car.
Hey, Henry Ford did it.
Yeah.
Now maybe Maximum Bob and his big-ass jet can do it, too.
150 miles per gallon when you use a gas with the Volt. God. I'll take that anytime.
They say it's going to be expensive, but hey, some people are paying $400 or $500 a month in gas. That's more than the payment.
Exactly. Pay for itself.
Going back to stepping back once to the guy who got fired, I remember I used to work in auto plants. I used to be a conveyor engineer. And I remember them telling me, and I think I saw somebody post something very similar to this. There's been incidences that even after rigorous training, and every employee that walks into a plant, they don't let people walk in and they just say, don't do anything stupid. You got to go through security training. Every person has to one level or another. And I remember hearing a story about they had a car under a tarp, and one guy just waltzed up and just lifted the tarp just to see what it looked like underneath there. Instant firing. They don't fool around with that. Sure, the guy didn't give away any secrets in the photos, at least not to our knowledge.
Right.
You know, but it's not his decision to make. And if somebody else says, well, that guy's okay to take pictures, I'll take some too. And then they do let secrets out.
Yeah.
They just can't pick and choose.
Yeah. You just never know.
I feel bad for the guy, but I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but that's a hot topic right now. So, fire some voicemails. We like voicemails a little better.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It saves us from reading. But I think that might wrap it up for the week. It's been pretty packed.
Yeah.
Submitted the artwork for the diecast car series 3. It's looking good. Ooh. Looking good. Packaging is entirely different than the first two.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Much more complicated.
Well, something to look forward to.
That's why it's taking me a little bit longer.
Huh? Well, cool.
Yeah, everybody's going to like this one. Anything else, Chris? No,
I think that's it. I need to go out and mow my lawn, and my allergies are killing me, so I'm going to take some allergy medication.
Fortunately, I have an 11-year-old, so I'll just make him do it.
Yeah, lucky bastard.
Just give it time.
Yeah.
You got another 10 or 12 years to go.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you next.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Camaro Z28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.